I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the accounts payable. That'll be cycle date 128 through 21, the amount of $188,170.37. The payroll, both the cycle date 128 through 21, as well as the payroll taxes and wires, all that, total of that was $276,578.52. Total warrants approved, $464,748.89, noting that the county manager has reviewed and approved such.
Second.
Any discussion? Items of note?
You know, it's all payroll related, even the accounts payable were payments of contributions from employees in the county to benefit packages.
So question, how do we get $54,000 in payroll on $278,000?
Was that taxes or what?
Yeah, taxes and the rest. Is that right?
Yeah.
$54,000.
It must have been something in the past.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a tax increase here.
Well, you know, hey, we get a pay raise, and the IRS gets it. Yeah, so good. That's all right. We're good. I'm sure it's all right.
I can find the number. I'm not going to look at it. It's not over here. It should be in this. Specifically. Let's see. We had $60,000 in payroll liabilities.
So it hadn't been part of the rest of the last month's payroll.
So
was
the number 54? Is that the number?
Yeah, well, that was fine. This is the question. So we had 54 in payroll, which is fine.
Should have about $20,000 in wires.
$222,000 in payroll taxes.
Oh, maybe it was just supposed to be $22,000. Got an extra two
over there. An arrow there. Let me look at it. On top of it.
Good catch, though.
Well, I mean, things are getting bad. They really are.
Let's not approve more in taxes than payroll.
It's at, what, 70% tax rate?
Why not?
120.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
130% of tax, if your tax rate. I'm sorry.
You're okay.
We could have followed that up.
Do we want to?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
we made a note of it. He'll look into it.
Yeah,
we can always
approve it.
We can disapprove if we need to.
All right, sounds good. All in favor?
Aye.
yesterday, we did something. We had an update from Human Resources, from Emergency Management, from the Sheriff's Office, and from the airport, including a presentation from Atlantic Aviation on their fixed base based operator project.
Great.
Madam
Chair, I move to approve consent agenda items A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Okay, so I must have an earlier agenda. I've only got A, B, C, D. What's E, F, and G?
It's only A, B, C, D. I think you might be looking at something wrong.
Oh, I'm on the wrong month altogether.
He's got some
unnumbered
encumbrances there.
Okay.
Sugar projects.
Tim's just throwing a few extras in.
I'm good.
We're not in any hurry. It's okay. Let us know when you're ready.
Okay, I think I'm there. Uh, Okay. Madam Chair, I move to approve consent agenda items A, B, C, and D.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Hi.
Morning.
So we are taking a look at a special event liquor license for partners in Route County. Is there any information that you need to share with
us? There's nothing really. Just at a private residence.
All right.
Do it every year, not at this exact residence, but reports are in and everything looks good.
Questions?
Madam Chair, I move that we approve a special events liquor license for partners in Rock County for an event to be held at the private residence of Dean and Jessica Ludwig at 3600 Klein Street from 5:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. and authorize your signature on the liquor license application.
Yeah.
Second.
Any discussion?
Discussion, yeah.
Who beat you up?
It was a bar fight.
He won.
See the other guy, right?
Yeah,
right.
So, I assume that this was for some kind of a worthy cause. Oh, for partners. Okay. Okay, right. I mean, we don't approve people to just have a party at their house at
No, we don't.
No.
It needs to be for a good, some kind of a good, okay, great. That was the discussion. I didn't
special event for partners in Route County.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Wait just a minute or two.
I saw our website this morning.
The contract with the Colorado Code Consultants.
Okay.
That three times fast to provide plan review services.
All right. So this is a contract we entered into consecutively. I think this would be the third year in a row. We used to also have a contract pre-approved with Safebuilt, but we built a really good, trusting working relationship with Colorado Code Consultants. So we prefer to use them. For reasons where we adopt and amend similar codes. We're part of their board. Don Marshbanks, our inspector, participates in their meetings. So for that reason, we've chosen to solely use their services if needed. We have yet to use their services in the 3 years, so it's just a backup plan.
There's no annual fee. It's just on a call basis.
On a call basis.
We pay them if we use them. That's great.
And primarily it would happen if we would happen to see two or three large commercial projects come in the door at one time. There's no way we could meet that demand, probably.
This is part of the advice that the building advisory group came up with and got slammed, that we wouldn't slow people down.
Well, yeah. And I also think it kind of came out of that whole fiasco when the city was threatening to leave.
No, I agree. I agree.
I have two clarifying questions. So this is a two-year contract. Did I understand that correctly?
No, it's single.
So the date listed in there was January 1st, 19 through December 31st of 20. So that sounds like 2 years.
2 years
to me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just wanted to confirm. I wasn't clear on whether
I'd be okay. It would save us the time of doing this again.
It's on page 2 in the first paragraph.
Okay.
And it's not like we're making a financial commitment.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to clarify whether we were signing this contract for 1 or 2 years.
It'd be 2 years. Yeah.
Right. I agree. I think 2 years makes sense, right?
I feel fine with that. Wasn't clear on which it was. And then the other question I had is, so this contract was entered into through an RFP process in 2015. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. What's the policy or how often do we need to do just another
RFP?
That's going to, I could check with Julie or Tom, but I believe it's going to be based on amount.
Yeah, we don't really have a standard for that, but if we feel like we ought to do that every 5 years, you know, we can.
Yeah.
If there's a good reason to do it more often than that, then we could also we've done contracts for auditing and everything else that are 5 years and those kind of things.
So maybe we
there's no restrictions.
Just confirm with Julie how frequently she thinks that an RFP process is appropriate for this contract.
Other than a multi-year obligation. Yeah, it is you.
We set the policy.
It's really you.
Okay. Well, thanks, Doug.
So it's not really. It's not
again. That's fine.
No, it's fine with me.
It's one of those little things that we actually have control over.
Yeah. So,
and whether it's in provide you written policy,
provide you from flexibility because it's not in writing.
Absolutely. And so, what I heard you say is that with other similar types of contracts, it's about every 5 years that we're doing that.
That's correct.
So that makes sense to me that we would just consider that again, and it would be really at the end of this contract.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Do a 5 year.
You guys all right with that?
No, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
And again, it's the same with our auditors or whatever the professional services we're asking for to be provided. You know, we need to make sure that we're going out there and get a public process to make sure we're getting the best deal and the rest that's out there. So, and I do know that there's only like two or three firms that even do this kind of maybe.
Well, there could be more. The problem we would run into, not that we wouldn't want to use someone local, but you're going to end up in a situation where they may be reviewing their own plans. So that's tough.
Yeah.
Because we have, especially on commercial projects, you have limited professionals.
Right.
Yeah. So that's.
I mean, I don't see any reason that there's a concern just to have that public process.
Yeah.
And
good question.
Do it periodically.
The rate per hour is extremely competitive. Actually, it's hardly that much more than what we get paid with benefits.
Yeah.
For our plan review examiner.
Great.
So. Yeah.
And I feel comfortable with all of that. It was just the question of how often we put this out.
Have you thought about throwing them one just to test to test them out to see what it really looks like, or you just have that much confidence that they're going to provide
a great
the
deal
product
of confidence.
That you need?
They, Steve Thomas, their president, he actually writes ICC codes, participates in the training. So when we go to Denver in March, he'll be the trainer. Their staff is years of experience.
So your expectation is that a plan review that Ted might do, that they would do, would look pretty much the same.
Yeah, we see eye to eye. That's one of the reasons.
Okay.
Because when you have local amendments and deletions, where do they come from? What other jurisdictions view those the same? For instance, the daycare.
Yeah.
That's who we reached out to on that interpretation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're ready for a motion.
Is it my turn? Okay. Madam Chair, I move to approve and approve your signature on a contract for Colorado Code Consultants to provide plan review services if needed in current year. Is that what that stands for?
Calendar year.
Calendar year 2019 and calendar year 2020.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Your second item is the IGA with the town of Yampa to provide building department services.
Okay, so this is just renewing the current IGA that we have with the town of Yampa, and it has not been updated since 2008. So last calendar year, we caught up with all other jurisdictions and wrote some new IGAs to bring new things into play that weren't there in the past. And so primarily it's just to update the IGA agreement. Not much has changed. We've just talked about electronic submittals and things of that nature for the most part.
And it looks like the attorney's office has reviewed this.
Correct, yes.
Any questions? Ready for a motion?
I'm sure I move we approve and authorize your signature on the IGA with the town of Yampa, Rob County, regarding the building department services.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. The third item we have is rescinding the green building code, a resolution to rescind the green building code.
Okay, this has been in the works. I think we started talking about this last April at the Building Department Oversight Committee. So this is the Green Building Code came about in 2008, but it was through an ordinance at the city and then through resolution here in the county. So in discussions back in April, we talked about, there just is no more, there never really was a strong participation in the Green Building Code. At the time when it was created, there was a grant that helped city staff put together the program and the manual that currently exists. Things like this get outdated, so it's going to take an extreme amount of staff time to keep up. It should be something that's updated on an annual basis if you were going to have a program, and it would take some either a consultant or additional staff potentially to maintain and support such a program. Really was the trigger is lack of participation, so they can sign the end of the checklist and just say, I don't want to participate. So there's been like six projects in, you know, the course of what, 10, 11 years? And there's one zoning district within the city of Steamboat Springs where it was mandatory, and that's kind of up around Ski Time Square. So you've seen some participation there, but that's because it wasn't an option. It was mandatory. We don't want to forget about it. We want to give people the option to always build beyond the code. So the codes we adopt are the minimum, right? It sets minimum level. So to encourage people to build beyond that, think about ways that may not increase their costs, but just change their practices, work practices, to help be more sustainable and green building. So that's what we're here to help support. So we partnered with the Yampa Valley Sustainability Council on the new program, the new layout, the website that will be housed both here at the county and also at the city of Steamboat Springs Planning Department. And what we found is that you really want to try to be proactive about this. So when projects come through the city planning department, it's the time that you want to start reminding people about, you know, how can you plan your project to be more sustainable or more green in terms of construction. So instead of us getting a permit application saying, here, now review this, it's a little late, right? It's the ninth inning, the design's been done. So it's poor timing. So we're going to be more proactive of getting this information out up front as well. And I think that'll be a benefit. One thing we did change on the building department website is the demolition permit. So we're calling it deconstruction.
Isn't that cute?
It helps a little bit. We had a specific program where I came from like that, so I robbed a lot of materials from that. And it's just about, you know, recycling, diverting the landfill. Most people probably already do this, but it's a reminder. It actually can save them money, you know what I mean, than taking everything and paying at the scale. So help doing that, you know, change the name of it, change the application, and put some reminders in there to folks. Because demolition or deconstruction was up considerably last year in the Old Town area over here.
I did call Sarah Jones at the Sustainability Council this morning just to make sure she felt in support of this, because the first reading, we're going to rescind our green building program. That doesn't sound like something I want to sign on to. And she expressed a lot of support and enthusiasm for the way this is going to go, as well as some marketing items that they're working on.
She's been extremely helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, without them, I don't think we could even hardly maintain something like this due to staffing levels.
Right. Yeah. So I appreciate that you noted it's noted in the resolution that this will be replaced with what looks to be a stronger program.
So the city is behind us a little bit, so nothing will change even after we rescind this as far as the green building code in the city, and I'm not going to publish our webpage that I have ready until we're fully through that process down the street with council.
Great. Any questions?
So, I guess projects out of the county, we're going to continue on with this.
Correct.
But it's voluntary.
Oh, it's voluntary. Anyhow. Yeah, the county projects become voluntary after today.
Okay.
That's fine.
You answer.
But within the city, I don't want to publish a web page and confuse people.
Yeah.
Their date is March 2nd, I believe, is when Bob Keenan's taking that to city council. And we're meeting Thursday to finalize some things for that meeting. They have asked that I attend that on behalf of the building department as well to answer questions.
Well, I think it's quite evident that, you know, again, that when we put this thing in place, it was an alternative to the energy code at that point in time.
Yeah, we didn't have one. Correct.
We didn't have one, yes. Yeah. So,
yeah,
even though there wasn't any incentive to join it either, I mean, we didn't have monies to incentivize somebody doing this either, so.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready. So, Madam Chair, I move we approve Resolution 2019-004, Resolution repealing Resolution Number 2008-061, and establish the Green Building Pilot Program as part of the application process for the building permits for the new residential construction in the unincorporated portions of Rob County.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Sorry, that might have been your. Was that? Now we have the numbers off. So it was your turn.
It's okay.
That's all right. I'll get the next one.
Okay, I spoke out of place.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so the final item, I believe, is the Hayden School District contract for building services for the new Hayden School.
Yeah, so this has, again, these discussions started through work sessions when we first signed an MOU to provide the school services. So we knew this project was coming. We'd have an opportunity to provide them services. However, our fees were not aligning anywhere near the state building permit fees for projects that exceed $4 million in value. And the big issue is that the difference is that with the state projects, we can't provide plan review for plumbing, field gas piping, or electrical work. And then we don't provide inspections either. So obviously our fees were inflated above the state because of that. Another item that we do here that the state building division does not review is structural aspects for schools. So we should be higher than the state in some regards because of that, because there's a lot of time spent through plan review examination and structural reviews as well. But basically, this just puts in place the fee schedule that was previously approved for us to offer the schools when the projects exceed $4 million. So it's a published fee schedule. It's a time and material agreement. I've given them just projections of, you know, best case scenario, worst case scenario of how many inspections I feel this project will take. But this contract doesn't bind us to that. That was just to get them in the realm. We'll probably fall right in the middle, I would guess. So looking forward to the project and working with the schools.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I mean, it should help them move that project along. And will help ensure that things that really need to be inspected do get inspected, which especially from your reference to the structural.
Okay, thank you.
The state doesn't seem to want to take responsibility for the structural engineering on these jobs, and at least we'll have some confidence through our local building department that the structure's been looked at and reviewed. So I think it's good for everybody. So, Madam Chair, I would move to approve and authorize your signature on a contract with the Hayden School District for the Rock County Building Department to provide construction, inspection, and services to the Hayden School District, or to the Hayden School District.
Second.
I did have one question before we make a final vote. So the fees that, would you just speak a little bit about how the fees that you have identified here would come to? Do these fully cover our costs? Do they cover a portion of our costs?
Time and materials.
So it's straight time and materials. So I worked with mm-hmm. Dan Stranad to get, because through the MOU, certain staff members are only able to provide certain services.
Right.
So it's Ted Allen can provide plan review services, the only one out of the entire department. Myself and Don Marshbanks will be able to provide inspection services. So what we did is work with Dan to get each employee's bottom line rate with benefits, and so we will have to track separately hours committed, but it is 100% reimbursed at all costs that, you know, through our department.
And that's where these numbers came from.
That's where these numbers came from.
Okay.
As far as how did I come up with the initial evaluation of getting that $4 million, I mean, that was done through a lot of research of large projects we did in the past and trying to figure out what was the percentage of plumbing, field gas, and electrical inspections done.
Yeah.
And so we were trying to set a flat rate at the beginning. It just became extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And we decided, you know what, the best best case scenario for both parties is time and materials.
Yep. And I understand all that and just wanted to confirm that these dollar amounts cover the cost to Rouse County for providing these services.
And the mileage is obviously comes right from Public Works, Road and Bridge, of what we charge back per department. So again, we're paid there.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification.
So the other thing is that, again, this is an enterprise fund, so it's totally self-sustaining. It's not generally general fund subsidized. And so the builders and users of the department are the ones that fund the department. And so through this whole thing, we didn't think it was fair that those builders would be subsidizing the activities of the Hayden School.
That's why we never waive these fees.
Exactly, as well, yeah.
And then the one last item is related to just so you understand it, come up with the fact that we start tracking mileage when we leave a project and we're on our way there versus mileage back. And that came about through building code administration back in the uniform building codes. They call it time and motion study. So it's nothing new to building departments. That's how we should view our fees if we ever adjust them. So we're doing it per the building code, really. That's where that came from.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks for all that clarification. Yeah. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I don't need to sign anything for that one, or I do?
Yeah.
I do.
There was an error, just a clerical error in the typing of the amount of our payroll checks. As you noticed, we had a lot of
errors. It wasn't 76,000?
No, there was a 3 that was left out in the middle.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought, wow.
That
was a good work week.
Nobody was working.
543,000.
Should we make a new motion?
Yeah, so
do that.
So since I made the motion, then I would move that we replace the motion that we made and approved earlier and approve the motion of the accounts payable. It would be a cycle date 128 through 221 for the $188,170.37. And the payroll checks, is the change, will be approved at $543,332.46. And the IRS and income tax stays the same at $222,246.06. Total warrants approved, $953,748.89.
Second.
Any discussion?
So did you have your items in note? Did you?
Yeah, there's no bill.
$188,000
didn't have anything in it.
You just stated that it was payroll.
It was payroll related, so it's contributions to a medical, to the medical, not the medical benefit, but the deposits for employees with their medical insurance savings.
Yeah.
And those kind of deposits.
HSA or FS, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Flexible plans, all that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 We're good.
No, I really messed it up. I took it out.
Sometimes these things, you just want to just try.
So we have the Colorado Opportunity Scholarship agenda item.
All right. Good morning. I am here again. And I'm sure you've noticed we've done these resolutions, and basically we are the partnering with the Rouse, Eagle Lake, Summit counties. We are partnering with CMC to secure funding for COSI on behalf of the four partners. And these, by us approving the resolution, this will help eligible candidates fund scholarships through CMC. We've already done 2016, 17, 19, 20, and now they forgot that they had the 18-19 one, so we're going backwards. This will give them $11,906 available for this semester. And like the others, we'll pass a resolution, and this will allow CMC to then get the funding that has already been appropriated for this scholarship. And this is called Colorado Opportunity Scholarship Initiative, COSI, and similar to the past ones. So this application builds off a successful intense student support project, which was the Mountain Futures Fund, a grant project proposed in 2014. The project had a relationship where the CMC Foundation was a top recipient of over $400,000 grant support, student achievement, college success, and we do not have a we do not contribute to it. We don't have any funding associated with this. We are just one of the four counties that sign in and allow CMC as to get the funding. We have no responsibility. The matching funds are raised by Yampa Valley Community Foundation.
So we're really just signing in support of CMC participating.
Correct. And this allows them, by partnering with the four counties, allows CMC campuses to get the funding in the different counties.
So the other question, we also then partner with CNCC for the areas that are not under the CMC area, and CNCC has students that are eligible in interest, they can also participate in here. Correct?
They do, yes, that is correct.
And there's not a separate, it's just the same
it's
thing.
It's just one, and then what it does happen too is there will be a contract with the state that we sign into. I have not gotten this contract. We had signed a previous one.
With CNCC?
With NCMC and the state. And that contract was all the way to 2020. So I'm hoping that we don't have to sign another one just for this, because this is like the third time we've done it. So
maybe they should bring it to us ahead of time?
Well, there's been a little confusion. I sent the email on their... So we had just approved something like this.
1920.
Yeah. For 1920.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Hey.
Yeah. And as soon
that
as
was
I
big money in 1920.
Yeah. And as soon as we approved
we're
that
looking
one,
forward to that.
He sent me this one, like 2 weeks later. I'm like, we just did the 1920 fiscal year. Why are we going back?
Retroactive. But okay.
Yeah.
Who's up?
I'm up, Madam Chair. I move to approve and authorize your signature on resolution number 2019-05, a resolution for Robb County as a partner to the Colorado Opportunity Scholarship Matching Challenge Scholarship as submitted by Colorado Mountain College.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Good. It was cold.
Oh, yeah.
But good. Yeah, it was very cold there. But
I'll look at your calendar and see.
The conference was great.
It looked like it would be very interesting.
Good connections, good
speakers.
Lots of policy conversations and just hearing what other people are doing, which I think is really valuable.
Nice.
Absolutely. Okay, so our first item is considering a tractor truck replacement.
Yes. We are here for consideration of the Board of County Commissioners to approve the purchase of one new model year 2020 Peterbilt 367 tractor truck for the Robb County Road and Bridge District 1 shop and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Jackson Group Peterbilt in the amount of $137,955. We will... be just under budget by $2,000. And the Road and Bridge Department has selected this truck as it best meets specifications required by District 1. But the International X520 and the Freightliner 122 SD that came in a little bit lower did not meet specification for suspension and or axles. And also Peterbilt maintains the standardization of the fleet at the District 1 shop. This purchase also adheres to the Route County Purchasing Manual 6th edition, section 6.7, request for proposal policy and procedures.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you for including that information. That's helpful.
One thing I would point out, and this is something that Commissioner Monger has pointed out, that we're very mindful of not making our specifications so narrow that you're basically ordering
sole sourcing.
Yeah.
And so while we're not always able to standardize on necessarily the manufacturer of the truck, we're trying to standardize on things like the Dana rear ends and stuff like that. And we've noticed that the standardization has helped. Like when we were plowing recently, we lost a pin out of a plow. We were able to take it out of one truck and put it in another and get the truck going while this other truck was. And so we're very mindful of that, because I ask that same question sometimes. I said, it looks like we're going after a particular truck. And I said, well, we're looking more for standardization on Cummins engines, particular types of rear ends, and not necessarily standardizing on suspension, but some of these other suspensions on the Freightliner and International we're just not that familiar with, and we're not sure. If we were turning trucks over every 5 years instead of every 20 or 25 years, we might go with a cheaper truck sometimes. But when we're looking at trying to get 25 years out of something, we want to get the longest life as possible.
I'm good.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with the process.
And the development meets every single line of.
Why are you all the way over there?
He's not feeling well.
The sick chair is right here. You don't have to be that far.
He only came in for this.
You were sick yesterday. What are you doing?
Every single line of the spec on Peterbilt and came under budget.
I have no questions.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the purchase of a new model year 2020 Peterbilt 367 tractor truck for the Route County Road and Bridge District number 1 shop, and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign that purchase order to Jackson Group Peterbilt in the amount of $137,955.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And Ray, you know, I really appreciate you bringing it up, because, you know, again, if you guys are thinking about it, I know you're thinking about it. I know we're not doing that. So we just got to be responsible to our people and say, hey, well, why are you even going out for bid? You're going to pre-select by your specs and the rest. So anyhow, I appreciate you bringing it up. And you guys are cognizant of it, yes.
And thanks for including those policies. That's helpful to me. All right, so we're looking at the purchase of a smooth roller.
All right. We are here for consideration of the Board of County Commissioners to approve the purchase of one new model year 2019 smooth drum roller for the Route County Road and Bridge District 2 shop, and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Ferris Machinery in the amount of $117,437. The budget for this was $110,000, so we may be looking for a supplemental budget request of $7,437. And the bid tabulation is on the back. We went out to 20 vendors, and we received 3 proposals. And we have taken the best proposal offered for the Volvo Model SD115B. They selected this not only as the lowest price proposal, but this machine meets the specification required for the District 2 shop. And it comes with a 1-year warranty, 6 months on parts, and 24 months on pavers. This purchase also adheres to the Route County Manual 6th edition, section 6.7, request for proposal, policies, and procedures.
What are pavers?
The roller.
The roller itself.
The roller itself.
Okay.
So Volvo met the specs, most of the specs, cheapest compared to the cat.
You guys like a cat color dealing with Wagner, but maybe not quite that
much. No,
not quite that much.
For the amount of use that the rollers get, I figure going with Ferris Machinery is a great idea. They actually are here every week to provide service. Even though they are from Grand Junction, but they're here, you know, every single week. And The goal was good machine. They're just not as widespread as CAT or DMSA. We would have a supplemental budget on this for $7,000. However, you know, when we purchase this item, we're going to sell the used equipment, and we may get a lot of this back.
So you're not requesting the supplemental budget?
Not at
this time, but...
Which so is making you
when
aware.
We sell these items in the fall, then yeah. we are, which I think we're going to get enough to compensate, but if we don't, then we will.
So you may require a supplemental.
We may
budget.
Require it.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Yep.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the purchase of one new model year 2019 smooth rum drawer for the Rouse County Road and Bridge District 2 shop and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Ferris Machinery in the amount of $117,437, noting that this purchase may require a supplemental budget request.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, so our third item is a waiver request for two new Zybex dispatch workstations.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Feel better.
Thank you very much. We are here for consideration by the Board of County Commissioners to waive the formal purchasing process and approve the award and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order for two new dispatch workstations for the Route County Communications move to the Clef building from Zybex Systems, Inc. for $50,847.76. Again, this budgeted item was budgeted at $50,500, so we are over, but we doubt that we'll need to request a supplemental budget.
Yeah.
And so the history behind it, I mean, you may want to speak to this.
Yeah, Steve and I worked together on what the process should be here and so forth. And I think in order to have, there's only one manufacturer that makes matching furniture to what we already have. And once we went through the process and evaluated the existing comm center furniture that was purchased in 2012, it's been maintained really well. It's in super good shape. And talking with Tom a few times, we felt like the best thing to do is to actually move that over to the other, to the new comm center, and just purchase matching furniture from the same manufacturer. They're the only ones that makes that. It's not like a GM and a Chevrolet, that sort of thing. It's they're manufacturer specific. The finishes are specific to that manufacturer. All of the components, that sort of thing, are all specific to that manufacturer. So what we're getting here, I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to look at the attachment or not. So we're actually getting more than just two dispatch workstations. We're getting some cabinetry that will be along each wall on the sides and some cabinetry down at the end. They're also providing some new divider panels that divide the dispatch consoles from the walkways. And they're also providing all of the labor to move our existing furniture over and set it back up, and the labor to install the new furniture that's coming in. So our initial quote was just under $50,500. And when going through, the reason why it's a little more than what our budget request was, we had assumed that they were going to be doing everything in 1 week. What we decided the best thing to do is to have them come in ahead of time and install the new furniture up front. And then that way the week that we're doing the big move, the week of July 8th, all they have to do is move the existing furniture. And that was about a $600 charge for them to come. And so yeah, two different charges for them to come and be here at two different times to make that installation. So that was the difference in the cost there. And I thought that was reasonable, $600 for them to come and do all that over a period of a week.
And this purchase adheres to the purchasing policy and procedure as cited in the Mount County Purchasing Manual, 6th edition, section 3.3, waiver of the formal purchasing process as to the following criteria. A particular part, material, or service is required to maintain standardization or compatibility as a part of an existing integrated system, and a particular material or item is required to match existing materials to produce visual harmony.
So we have two workstations that are going to have the mobile portable units that, that can be removed.
Correct.
But there's no, they don't require any kind of a different workstation than your standard stuff.
No, sir.
Okay.
The Motorola workstations that are portable
yeah.
can be reused on any type of furniture.
Okay.
It's not specific to that at all.
I was just glancing through here. Could you provide some information? It looks like we are purchasing for each of these stations a cup holder that costs $51, which just stands out to me. So could you just clarify what that is?
So our existing furniture has the same exact cup holders in them when it was uh-huh. purchased in 2012. And what it is it's a fairly heavy-duty swing-out cup holder at multiple sizes that allows the dispatchers to put their cup, coffee cup, whatever it is, work cup, that sort of thing, in a cup holder instead of sitting it on there to reduce spills into the electronic yeah. equipment.
So that's important to keep it away from the
equipment. It's not an absolute requirement, but it does reduce the possibility of having stuff spilled in the keyboards and that sort of thing.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I thought it was probably something like that, but I just wanted to do my due diligence.
Yeah, so these two new workstations are going to match exactly what we have now with the four in the comm center. So, and you'll get to see those tomorrow.
So we won't be purchasing six, we'll be purchasing two.
I feel okay about your justification for the need.
So I'm glad we're reusing the ones that we had too, right?
Exactly.
The,
that's great.
Ones that we've already got in.
They're only
probably be approaching $200,000 for total furniture for the entire dispatch area.
If
we were getting all new furniture.
Later than we're paying.
No, have
right.
we not?
Yeah, we purchased
well,
new
had
furniture.
Not
all
okay,
new.
That, there you go. Thank you.
So we're fiscally responsible.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're recycling.
Repurposing.
No, well, those are our. They're pretty new.
They've been maintained really well and in good shape. And Zybex has been really good. A couple of times we've had some issues since I've been here with some of the doors and some of the things. They get right on it and get stuff over to us so we can get it repaired. So.
Any other clarifications, questions, or I would...
Madam Chair, I move that we waive the formal purchasing process and approve the award and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order for two new dispatch workstations for the Rock County Communications move to the CLEF from Zybex Systems, Inc., for $50,847.76.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 They are pretty elaborate. I mean, man, those are nice little, I mean, the whole thing. So.
Well, did you see how many screens they have to have sitting
well,
in?
Well, no, yeah.
Star Wars World.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, and then our final item in purchasing, state bid consulates for the Rout County Communication Department.
Yes. We are here for consideration for approval of purchase and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign a purchase order to Motorola Solutions for two new consulates, radios, and three replacement consulates for the Rout County Communications Department. Communication Center for the amount of $28,054.40. This item was budgeted at $28,735, so we have a little number $680 under budget. And do you want to speak to why you went to? Well, we're using the NASPRO Value Point Colorado State Pricing Agreement from Motorola Solutions for the new consulates needed for the move to the new CLEF building. This purchase request follows the policy and procedures cited in the Rout County Purchasing Manual 6th Edition, Section 6.3. Colorado State Pricing Agreement may be used for a purchase of any size or amount. However, any purchase over $20,000 must be approved by the BCC prior to issuing the purchase order.
So, just a couple of items. Motorola obviously is standardization from the other equipment that we have in the comm center, the radios that we purchased for the other departments and so forth. So, that's one reason for utilizing this. They're the only manufacturer that will integrate into our existing radio consoles and equipment that we have inside the comm center.
And they're only one with the state bid?
Yeah, three of them are replacements, and then the two additions, VHF and UHF, will allow us to have interoperability with the ski mountain. Also will allow us to have, and anybody else within the UHF band, and also have interoperability with U.S. Forest Service, BLM, and those other agencies that are in the VHF band. Those are capabilities that we don't have right now. So that's the purpose of the two new ones.
That sounds great. Sounds like a good upgrade.
Yeah, we're going to, the plan is that they'll do the install during the week of the, during the week of the move of the CLEF, July the 8th.
Great. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Madam Chair, I move to approve and authorize the county manager to electronically sign a purchase order to Motorola Solutions for two new consulates and three replacement consulates for the Rob County Communication Department in the amount of $28,054.40.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much. Let's take the lunch break. Come on up.
Hey, what's up there? How you doing? Good, man. Good to see you. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Good, 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 Tim.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, Ron. Good.
Yes. All right. We are looking at Wendler request for the Wendler request for a vacation of a portion of is it Placer? Placer. Thank you. Street. PL 18201. So we will take the staff report. Okay. So the applicant here is requesting the vacation of the eastern 15 feet of Placer Street. It's adjacent to lots 5 through 8, block 4 of Hans Peak. This is modified from his original request that was for a section of Placer Street and a section of 8th Avenue. The original request, that map, is included in your staff packet on page 18, if you want to look at it. Just to give you some context of where this is located, so we have up on the screen, we've just got all of Route County. This is the Hans Peak area in context to the rest of Route County. We've got, this is Hans Peak Village here, and in the red indicates where the applicant's property is. And then,
in the town of Hans Peak. The thriving metropolis of.
It is. There's a lot of building going on up there.
That's good.
Okay, so this is just zooming in more. The red line indicates the applicant's property. Just a note, these property lines are not exact.
They're off by 30 feet.
Depending on who you ask.
Yes. And then this is zoomed in, this is block 4. Again, the applicant's property. And then,
so I guess you just keep presenting, and well, I have questions about that comment.
Okay, about it not being exact.
The 30 foot.
Okay, yeah. Can we let's let her finish her presentation? Okay. Yep. Okay, so this is the applicant's home, according to the site plan that was submitted from Emerald Mountain Surveys. He has about 11.5 feet from the front of his property line to the front of his porch. He's requesting 15 feet off of that from Placer Street to be vacated in front of that home there. Here's also just a photo of Placer Street. And then this is a summertime photo from the assessor site. Just a few more things that go along with it. We have a topographical map. So again, this is not an exact property line. Really, it's got 11.5 feet, excuse me, in front of his home there before his property line actually begins. And then this map is included in your packet that was submitted. It just shows historic vacations that have happened in Hans Peak throughout the years.
Which are where?
The
historic vacations.
The historic vacations are indicated. They've got the year that they were vacated in the green. It's a little hard to
tell. Was that in our packet as well?
It is in the packet.
I didn't understand what that was.
Yeah. That is located on page 19 of your packet.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. So it shows the year that they were vacated. There was also a section down here where there was a denial for vacation for the section of Placer Street, and just a note indicating why, and that was to leave access for snowmobiles, explore a community plan, and avoid piecemeal vacations. This application was reviewed by Planning Commission on January 3rd. They were asked to consider whether or not the sections being considered for vacation are being used currently by the public, if they could potentially be used in the future, and without a community plan, in the absence of a community plan, with no plan for where roads or utilities might go, what are the potential impacts of a piecemeal vacation? They voted to recommend denial of it 4-1. The dissenting vote, Commissioner Brookshire, suggested to the applicant that he reduce his request, and that is what the applicant decided to do, and that's why we asked for it to be tabled 2 weeks ago. So he's reduced it from these larger portions of the entire roadway section on that north west end to just that 15 foot in front of blocks 5-8. Okay. We had a few referrals. We got one from Roan Bridge, one from Environmental Health, and one from GIS. I asked if they had new comments based upon the new, you know, the revised reduced request the applicant had submitted. Roan Bridge indicated that their previous comments were still relevant. They were
trying to see too, if you don't mind.
Fine. They were supportive of a Placer Street vacation. However, they were not when he was originally asking for the 8th Avenue section. They were not supportive of that. Environmental Health stated earlier that they just couldn't verify what space is needed if they're, you know, if water and sewer were installed. And then GIS submitted a letter. I mean, here to speak to it if you guys have questions. There's a number of concerns that they've outlined just with vacations in Hans Peak in general.
None of them were there. 1994.
Are you ready for questions?
Yep.
2003.
Actually, I will go ahead and let the applicant make any comments. Summary?
Sure. I think approximately everything Tegan has said has been correct, and we can answer the 30-foot thing up there later because of our map system. I did go in for 8th Street and Placer Street because pretty much nobody else uses any of that land except myself.
This is the one that was denied.
And my neighbor here.
Oh.
We use it for our four-wheelers to go in and out. It's all flat. There's trees everywhere in there and whatnot. And then we hit 8th Avenue and we go all the way over to the National Forest Trail. So that's what I asked for. I didn't know it would be such an issue for everybody else because there is a lot of vacations done in Hans Peak and those places where other people could actually have still access their properties and whatnot. Mine, nobody else uses any of those areas for access whatsoever. And not that Hans Peak is a thriving metropolis where people are building everywhere. I did understand and speak with Roan Bridge and Environmental Health and those types of things. So when you guys approve here in the next few years in our lifetime, the new water and sewer that we're going to have up there and the new roads for all the other people that...
When the community decides to come together and tell us that they want that. Yes.
Exactly. So when the community decides to come together and do all of that, you'll have that area there for a road, water, sewer, electric, and all that, even though there's already easements in place for all that. But I did understand where they're coming from for what they said and why that they had the referrals or their comments or whatever in place. Well, my whole main objective is just to be able to come into good standing and make sure that I have the appropriate setbacks, which I'm very close to it. So after talking with the planning and Brookshire and his comments, as you'll see that I've only asked for a 15-foot instead of asking for all the roads and stuff. It will probably still stay the way it is and everything. I don't expect people to request to put it, come in and cut down trees and put a road in, which I guess I don't know why anybody else would, because I own all the land that's on board of both of these sides of the property. There's no access to any other private land out inside of the town of Ponce Peak. I have a large cul-de-sac that comes onto my property for turnaround for fire and everything. And other people do come and go from that cul-de-sac, friends, and people get lost and whatnot and come in there. And that's some of the, what the GIS was talking about in their comments in regards to signage and whether they want to change the name of the road or whatever there is. You know, we're kind of back in the corner, and there's only four different residences or four different places back in there right now. And there could be five, six, seven total. Eight, if you counted my other vacated lot. But they're all, they all would access over here off of a new road that's being put in onto lots 16, 13 through 16. But anyhow, that comes to my cabin. We have a beautiful turnaround. It's a fire safe. I think all the fire department knows where we are up there. They know how the town is already laid out. So I'm only a couple feet off. As you can see, I have completely reduced. I did not even come in. I thought it would be nice if we put in the 15-foot easement even over here on the other lot just to make it symmetrical and square. But I just thought maybe you guys are going to want to see what the minimum should be. I'm pretty close to the minimum. A lot of my landscaping, as you can see from the picture we had of my cabin, is in that area also.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if there's questions.
We will take clarifying questions from the commissioners. Would you like to start, Tim?
Could you put that picture back up of the one with the snow? Yeah, that one right there.
And then, or even the summer picture's better. Let's go back to the summer picture.
Yeah, the summer picture shows
right
the
there.
Landscaping.
Yeah, go back to the winter picture, though.
Okay.
So you were indicating approximately where that vacation would extend to. It was like somewhere near that snowmobile on the left.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got...
Oh, nope.
Let me get you back. You got it.
Go forward.
Yeah, so...
Red?
Yep.
Red for red? This is at the 11 and 13 foot line,
yep,
right there of the setback, and that brings you out to about right somewhere right in there. That machine is not parked straight, but it is, what is it, about 11 feet long, 12 feet, 11, 12 foot long. So it's probably right around there is where the line is, somewhere right in front of this tree right here. So I'm just looking to come out about another, what did I have on there? 15 feet, which would be about where that sign is. And it would actually stop about right there in the cul-de-sac, I believe. That's where the corner, actually down here. The corner of the property comes to about right here.
With the vacation?
No, that's where my corner of my property is now.
So
right
have,
where the dog is.
So with the vacation.
As you can see on the map. I'm just trying, I was pointing at this corner.
So, yeah, the map's still hard, and the...
this is correct. Line, these
it's
surveys
still hard
are correct.
To understand, too. So, and what is this little section right there? Is that... And this is the actual construction.
Which one
right
is
there.
This one?
This is the full map right here of what I'm looking for.
Yeah, but what is this? Is this a building, or is
that,
this... That's
nope.
Open space right here.
That right there is a 13 and 12, 11-something...
Back to
open
the
area
line.
From the edge of the front of the deck... To the edge of the property line.
Okay, because I didn't understand.
So that's the distance of the finished covered deck from the property line.
Which is right there, right at the snowmobile here.
So okay. I have a clarifying question on that. Am I correct in understanding that there's no structure in the right-of-way currently.
Correct.
It's all on the property.
Yes.
Okay.
But the required setbacks for yes. Hans Peak are anywhere from 5 to 25 feet. But after research and discussions with Chad and Tegan and over the last couple of years, he's come up with basically in that 15-foot area. But it's a hit and miss thing, and they, you know, you can.
So I understand.
Okay. So the applicant is attempting to get a 25-foot setback from his structure to the end of his property line. That's what the applicant's trying to achieve.
Yeah, but why?
Because he.
So you already said that there's different size of setbacks across Hans Peak.
So can you
throughout the county
clarify
the different towns and places?
The setbacks in Silverview are different than setbacks in Steamboat.
Well, more like Milner, Oak Creek, places where they built back in the day.
Yeah.
Because you could still build in Hans Peak even if you have three lots. And people have. And people are sitting on the property line in Hans Peak. It's just not everybody is doing that.
So the question, I think there's a question around the clarification of why you're requesting this setback specifically.
It's right here in the first page of the first paragraph at the bottom line.
On your letter?
Okay. Can you
want me to reread it? It's also allowed me historic. I would like to get the vacation, which would leave 65 feet, which is more than needed for future county improvements for when they build the streets and put in water and stuff. So I can allow me the historic setback of 15 feet on Placer Street, which I'm requesting the vacation, allowing me to be in compliance. It's basically my front yard and landscaping for my privacy.
So you're requesting this for the purpose of having the
to build a garage down the road. I would like to build a garage on my property, and I need to come in compliance with the zoning department.
I understand.
We're all right with that. But so you still have a 15 foot, or you got a 12 and a 13 foot setback right now of the property.
I got you. So the reasoning, I know where you're going. The reasoning that
he's
I'm
not going anywhere, he's just
15.
Asking questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm asking.
It's all right. So I was thinking, should I or should I not ask for 2 feet? Or actually 4 feet on this one, then I'll have 15 feet.
Right.
But the 15 feet, actually, however you want to do it, it's okay with me because I'm just looking to get my historic 15-foot setback if that's what I need. The maximum was 25, so I was just trying to play it safe and have my 25-foot setback. If you think I need to move down to several more feet, it doesn't really matter as long as I'm in compliance to get my building permit.
So you built a new structure.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I have, like everybody else in Hans Peak, has fire pits. They live on Placer Street. There's houses on Placer Street itself.
Yeah, no, that's what we want. I wanted to have Emmy explain to us as well.
But so that's just history of people have their fire pit or their picnic table or they park, you know, something off of their property. I have my land, as you saw, my landscaping is mostly on my property. But my fire pit's a little off. I have a trampoline in the middle of Placer Street. Anybody can drive up there and see it and whatnot. I mean, that's kind of nobody else accesses or uses any of that property that I started with, except myself. My kids have grown up there playing paintball and building little forts and whatever, you know.
We're aware of that.
So,
historic challenges in
so if yeah, I know you.
Yes.
Well, I've been
sure
here for 36 years.
More than the rest of us.
And I've seen it for 36 years.
Absolutely.
And and you do understand I'm just looking to try to come in compliance. Now, if I get approval that says we just do 5 feet, and I'm okay with our planning director to replat it at that, then I'm fine with that too.
Thanks for
so
the clarification.
So I think part of the confusion is the setback in Hans Peak is 25 feet. There is an option for a property owner there to request a historic setback, which the planning director can consider down to 5 feet.
So when did we adopt 25-foot setback?
With the zoning.
Could have been 72. It's been that way for decades.
Yeah. So we put a 25-foot setback on lots that were 25-foot.
Well, it was at the same time that the minimum lot size was established, which was mainly because of the sewer and or septic and well as you, that it was no less than four lots. But if you owned less than four lots, then that was called an existing ownership unit, which you couldn't subdivide below, you know, or build on less than four. If you had eight, you couldn't split it into three, let's say. You had to keep that four as a minimum.
So the set of four lots are 100 feet by 125 feet, and they have a 25-foot setback. And from the Planning Commission meeting to the 22nd of January, when he was originally scheduled to come before you, that is when we got a site plan that clearly indicated from Emerald Mountain Surveys what the distance was, because the applicant was under the impression his deck was actually in the right-of-way, which it was not. So he also simultaneously has applied to the planning director to attempt to get that historic setback, which the criteria for that is, you know, looking at the community, looking at neighboring parcels to see if it fits with the rest of them historically as a similar setback. However, we're in the process of trying to look at our mapping to see where those property lines are to be measuring from for the
neighborhood. And that's a separate consideration.
Yeah, that's a separate.
I'm a little concerned us piecemealing here too. So I guess I still want to have a discussion with Emmy and have an overview of the map and the rest.
Before you do that, I'd like to just ask a couple more questions about this photograph here. So, Tegan, with the marker, the pointer, would you draw the line that would show where the new property boundary would be coming back towards us? My understanding is,
this would just be approximate.
Between the stone walls.
Yeah, it would be approximately between the
stone walls. And that drawing would stay back towards us, so I get a feel for
And that. That's the 15 feet added in, or that's the current property.
That's what the 15 feet added.
So he's saying this is approximately a 12-foot long sled, and it's parked on an angle.
Yeah, okay.
So approximately somewhere in this.
And draw it all the way back towards me. Way about there, to the left of the dog. Okay.
Oh, that's
Gus. So my next question is, this road's not maintained by Route County?
It's not built, and it's not.
I built it, I maintain it, Dr. Dave Wilson, and myself.
Do you have to get like a road maintenance agreement with the county to do that?
We had not. I built it 24 years ago.
You say we
got a permit, though, to build the road. I was already in, but it wasn't.
You improved it.
We improved it. Buttons came in with all of this stuff, and we improved the whole road to county's specs and permits and everything.
So are you under some kind of a requirement to keep this road maintained? The fire department doesn't care?
No, we all chip in just like everywhere else in Hans Peak, except for Main Street.
So you say that it's a cul-de-sac right now, and vehicles have the opportunity to turn around?
Yes, sir.
Well,
even a fire truck.
I want to see the winter picture. Don't go away.
That other one will show you in the summer.
That's where people can turn around, right?
Yep, and we just expanded it about 10 to 15 feet.
It looks like, I mean, just looking at the picture, it looks a little tight. Doesn't look like anybody's actually making the full circle there.
I can do it with my pickup and a four-place snowmobile trailer.
But the point I'm trying to make is that if your property line extended out to this new location that Tegan indicated, that cul-de-sac could theoretically be shrunk quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, but there would have to be, or we could expand it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, my concern is that you would say, no, I don't want anybody plowing on my property. Now there's not enough room to jump.
Sure. Right now there's a cabin here, and the cul-de-sac pretty much goes. Can you bring up an aerial view on this thing?
Yes.
So
we've got, this is a zoomed in section of block four. So this is his neighbor's house, the Wilkersons. This is Plaster Street.
Wilkinson.
Yeah, no, I've looked at it before.
All these hash marks are gravel.
And the road comes in like this. gravel.
Are you saying that's what's currently on the
That's what's currently all gravel and plowed. And then I also have, we have between Wilkinson and myself, we have all this is gravel too. So okay. Even if they had to pull in here, they could back up three different fire trucks into our driveway if they had to, too.
And then back to the winter picture. No, I'll be done. Can you indicate approximately where the public access is to the state land? Or does that, can you actually see that in this picture?
You can't see that.
Not in this picture.
Picture.
Okay, go back, then go to your block off, your aerial view and show me where it's
so
at.
So it comes across 8th, isn't it? And then goes across, there's a, where's the gate at?
I can kind of see it on my, I can kind of see it on my map.
Right there, right on the fence line is an access. Then the other access is right there.
Yeah, that's the one I was...
It's nowhere near where we are. Sorry, I thought I muted that.
Actually, I guess I'm seeing it a little bit differently on this map right here.
Are you looking at parcel lines? The parcel lines are...
No, but I'm seeing this trail that looks like it comes right off the end of this cul-de-sac right onto the state land. It really looks like it goes right off the end of the cul-de-sac. That's why I was asking about that.
Yeah, we can see it on this one, too.
You see what? See, that's state land.
Not that one.
Further north.
Further north.
Keep going north.
That is the one gate, and the other gate is right there.
Ron, they're asking about the trail. You can see it faintly.
That's
my two-wheeler trail that I take with my four-wheelers and my snowmobiles, and then I come all the way across here, as you can see, the two-track here, and then we hit the National Forest Trail over by...
So that's not state land.
No, that's state land.
That's sliver
state. No, this is not. This is, but it's not... Let me let you take over.
This has to do with the lines on
this. This is what Doug was asking earlier, is why are we off 30 feet? This line here is actually where the fence is at, and this little sliver here of whatever it is, 40 feet, is actually starts here and goes over to here. Are you with me?
Yeah, so the both lines
are not correct. All these yellow lines are off. They're 30 feet that way to the east. They need to be moved 30 feet that way.
Well, if that was the case,
there's the trail
right
there.
Setback issue, wouldn't you?
There's the trail. That's the Poverty Barn trail right here.
So you could tell in this map, it appears as though his house is not on his property.
Yeah, it looks like the house is on Placer Street.
Yes, however... Based upon the site plan we got from Emerald Mountain Survey,
I see what you're saying.
It's actually 11 and a half feet.
I get what you're trying to say.
So that's why these were. Yeah. That's why I didn't include.
Well, that's why I'm bringing this up because if you go on down, it's all the way down too.
Oh yeah.
With your map, I mean, it goes all the way down to the
Poverty Bar Trail.
If
what you say is correct and these property lines are off 30 feet and they all move 30 feet to the
west, then
that trail in question, you'd be correct in saying that it's not on state property.
No.
At that point, it would be in the street, not on your property.
The trail?
Trail is a trail. It's Parks and Wildlife bought it. Wanting to put in a motorized trail that which you guys all probably know, especially you.
No, I've helped.
And they sold it to the state before they actually got it approved, Buttons did off of his property of Lucky Camp. That trail has nothing to do with the town of Hunts Peak or Ralph County legal portion, if you think about it as if an adjacent property owner. But that's all a lot of the question now anyhow, because I'm not asking for the whole vacation of the road.
So just, okay.
You and a neighbor, if you split
you're
it.
You're getting over splitting the hairs about who owns what, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. This is the cul-de-sac in question that we saw in the wintertime photograph, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. This is currently in Placer Street.
Right, so that's the cul-de-sac.
And then his...
And immediately off the north end of that cul-de-sac, there is this trail.
So this is a two-track that Ron and neighbors have used on their four-wheelers to get over to state lane.
So you're saying that I wouldn't...
It's on Placer Street.
So myself, as an individual of the public, assuming I could find a place to legally park, I could walk up this road and continue to head right up that trail.
You could.
Okay. Legally, I wouldn't be trespassing.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're in the right-of-way of Placer Street.
Okay, correct.
But you have outlawed, the county has stopped parking for the public on Hans Peak right-of-ways, like snowmobile and four-wheel and all that, especially at the back of Hans Peak.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
But, you know, somebody... So when I came in here and the neighbor came in when we were planning, he came in here and was against this, which makes no sense, because his home is entirely on Placer Street. And since I came in here, he has been starting to use that for the first time ever. He just moved in a year and a half ago, and he's the person in the neighborhood that just moved in and has pissed everybody off everywhere. And he's doing it out of spite. So... I don't know what to say to that, but I'm just trying to get in front of everything and get it dialed in.
Just so you understand, one of the primary concerns that I have as a commissioner is when we talk about public access to public lands.
Oh yeah, we're
anything
not,
that we may or may not do and how that may impact. That's really important.
This won't impact any of that. If we really had to, and you might be thinking it, I don't know, but maybe the and this is up to Chad is, you know, if you have a concern. If we don't put, we can put an easement in to where that cul-de-sac is, if that's a concern to you. But it's 80 feet. It's the county's 80 feet. There's more than enough room for fire trucks to move around. All you need is 50 feet, isn't it, for a fire truck and a T in a road? So we have all that covered.
Hammerhead. My questions are answered.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we wanted to hear from Emmy a little bit about the concerns around the... mapping?
Absolutely. I want to know where we're heading after this, too. So
we got a couple of factors working here. One being, to start off, is back when land was first surveyed, you know, in the 1800s, they weren't using precision instruments, and landmarks such as corner sections were set, and they may not have been exact. And then we have to try and fit our parcel layer in off of those landmarks that maybe were off by a number of feet.
So is the whole town of Hans Peak off 30 feet, or is it just the west half?
It's kind of crooked, if you will.
Oh, is that right?
It's
all right.
One way or another.
Poverty bar.
So there's old landmark issues from the PLSS surveys is one thing. The other thing to take into account for Hans Peak area is the terrain. If you imagine lifting the aerial photo off of the terrain, let's imagine a blanket, for instance. If you're lifting that off and trying to make it flat, and then we're taking our parcel there and trying to make that flat on top of two things that are 3D, it's really hard to get them to line up correctly. And so that's some of the other issues we're battling in Hans Peak right now. We did reach out to Emerald Mountain Surveys to see if we could bring in his survey data for this area, and he was kind enough to give us all of his landmarks for the entirety of Hans Peak. It's a very large job for us to get that rectified, but we are working on it right now. So you will see some better clarification with the parcels on the aerial in the future here. But with that being said, it's important to always go by the surveys for making decisions, because the GIS data just is not survey quality and never will be.
Other questions on that?
So I guess how many, I mean, again, if you look at the GIS and if you look at the view that we're looking at, there's three or four different homes that are in the right-of-way.
Again,
if you move it over 30 feet, then I assume that maybe the only one that is in the right-of-way is the one that Mr. Wendler's talking about?
The Emerald Mountain Survey clearly shows one structure in the right-of-way there. And I think to make decisions on anything else in Hans Peak, a survey would really be necessary.
And you had stated in your letter some concerns about addressing related to this. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so in the couple of things related to that, in the past, the vacations have left homes without a road, if you will, some of the interior homes. And so, for instance, 4th Avenue was vacated in 1972, and that left one structure that doesn't face Main Street exactly. They came in a couple of years ago with a confusing address situation, and our hands are tied. We can't readdress them. We can't name that that vacation right there because we need to do a plat. And that's where, again, we're back to maybe a community plan kind of situation in Hans Peak to clean up some of the addressing.
So what does the community plan do? Are we talking about a planning plan, or are we talking about a survey overlay or something? Different things.
If everything aligned correctly, a complete replat of Hans Peak would do wonders up there. That's a huge task, though, and I don't expect that to happen anytime soon.
Can you do a complete replat without individually surveying each and every...
You would have to do a complete survey of Hans Peak, and you would...
Of each and every...
And you have to get...
Each lot.
Each lot, yeah.
Every lot would have to have its each have its own individual survey in order to accomplish that.
Yeah. Yep.
And that would be... But you were just talking about Bear and giving you some data. You already have a certain percentage of them that you believe are accurately surveyed.
That's just putting where the current lines are with structures and such. As far as addressing the roads and addressing in there, that's a whole other can of worms that would take a large effort by a lot of people.
And I can tell you too, just with the familiarity that I have with some of the survey information, the aerials, that no matter whose opinion you're taking, whether it's our lines in GIS, which we know are wrong, some of the home placement looks pretty good on us. When we took Bear's survey and kind of moved all of our Hans Peak lines over to match that, then some looked really bad and some benefited by that. I mean, one of the things we noticed with Bear's recent information is that the right-of-ways look better compared to any other set of information that we have. So it's a mess. I don't understand if there was any rhyme or reason to the placement of homes in the past.
I have a question, perhaps, Tegan, this question is for you. I noted on this map that in 2003, this vacation was denied, and there was it was noted that one of the reasons was to explore the possibility of a community plan. That was a long time ago, so I guess I just have a question about has that been explored?
And Chad could probably speak to that better. It sounds like there have been some efforts that were kind of non-starters for exploring a community plan in Hans Peak as far as, what does the future of that community look like? What roads are potentially going to get built?
I'll tell you a little bit more. The reason why it got denied is because that's the low part of the whole community. And if any sewer system was going to get built at that place, that would be where all of that stuff's going to go out. And at that point in time, whoever that was didn't come in and ask for a partial vacation. He asked for the whole thing. And then we would have had to have come back when we ever came in to put in, or the community came back to put in a sewer system. The only way out of the whole community is through that Placer Street down at the bottom where it hits the highway. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And this was some of our discussion.
That's why we didn't approve it at that point in time. And that's exactly part of the reason when we were working on this, the State Land Board Trail as well. And again, that's the bottom part of the community. It's right there at the lowest elevation.
And something to keep in mind from being a landowner up there forever and using these things and whatnot is you would still have an easement over a lot of it. I'm not looking at trying to take my thing and then build on and go out into that. And nobody else should really do that either if they're trying to vacate a portion of the road. Because of that, you would keep easements in everywhere, so that way if you have, road and bridge and GIS and environmental health and all that stuff,
you have that right, because if we ever decide to put in water and sewer in a road up through there for whatever strange reason the county wants to spend them, you know, several tens of millions of dollars or something, then you still have that right to do it for the public.
Yeah. Chad, did you want to speak to the community plan just briefly?
Just there have been attempts in the past, you know, about getting some kind of a community voice. Back, it might have been before I got here, but there was actually a push involving the installation of a sewer system up there. And based on the way I've heard, the stories I've heard, is that the infighting got so bad in the community that things just kind of dissolved. There was actually at least the beginning of a partnership with the state park because a gravity system, either mechanical or lagoon treatment facility, the only place that would have made sense was on state park. They were willing to give land or put an easement there, and again, with the result of the fighting, and they pulled out.
People didn't have the money.
They didn't want to spend it.
And the other thing, it's just a typical growth, anti-growth thing, too. Because if you build the system, then you're going to have a whole bunch of lots that are going to be eligible. And so you had a certain population that didn't want to have that. They were just fine the way it was, and so they weren't interested in having that community plan. That's why they're not interested in driving a system with the sewer system forward, too. Because you got people that are fine having their septic system, and they're asking. They don't want to have it. Their neighbors come in and build on the next few lots, too. So if I could add one more thing, could you pull up the aerial that's a little further in Stone Hill? Is that, you know, I think we've had a lot of discussion. I think we understand more than scratch the surface about the existing conditions up there. But, you know, throughout the last, I'd say, at least a couple decades that I've been here, when we approach the Planning Commission and the Board with a vacation, obviously make sure that any statutory or regulatory standards have been met, but typically try and boil things down to two questions. Is the public using it now, or is there a chance the public uses it in the future? And looking at this aerial, for example, where Placer Street is platted, if you look at all the vacant lots, or there could be lots if you would split some of these, Placer Street was supposed to be the front yard. So just kind of a question that pops into my mind as a planner is that as these vacant lots fill in, how are they going to get access? You know, and so that's, you know, maybe it applies down here more than up there, but is there a chance that the public will use Placer Street in the future? Yeah, it probably will. And Scott, you know, in talking with Scott, you just had some comments too about where the appropriate locations, if and when the, you know, water and sewer systems go in. Yeah. Because one thing that's kind of hard to tell off of the vacation map that Tegan had up here is that the original plat included Alex, which would make sense to put the infrastructure in the alleys. That's gone now.
Those were vacated.
Gone for 30 years or so.
There was originally planted with alleys?
Mm-hmm. They were vacated in the 50s. I thought it said on this. No. Well,
yeah, they were all vacated in the 50s.
That had to have been some small stuff with alleys in between all that.
Yeah. So that took a big, you mean, if the system were to go in, water and sewer took a big hit at that point because now they have to be in the right of way.
Mm-hmm. Are there not still easements though on those vacated alley areas for electric and phone and stuff? Mm-hmm. Or does the Yampa Valley Electric just have the neighbor sign off that it's okay to go over your property?
The survey that was provided in the application packet from Emerald Mountain does not show any.
No, that's right. No, I think it's just a given. But we work with each other up there in regards to that. Like I had electric go through the back of ours just last summer. But I think they have you sign off that it's okay to do that.
That easement then should be shown on this survey.
I don't think there are any easements. That's what I was asking. Do you recall if there's those vacated areas or...
I don't think so either.
So earlier when you were talking about easements that the county would...
In the right of
ways. Users would still have easements. Where would those be?
In the right of ways.
As what? Utility easement?
Yeah, road, utilities, all that. Like when I first came in for my application, I was asking for all of Placer Street and all of 8th. Well, there would still be an easement across all of that to put the roads in and the utilities. Well, so road and bridge still had nothing to worry about.
It would have to be shown, and it's not shown on the survey.
Correct. It would have to be shown. That would be a part of... We didn't want to get into
with all the language and all the extra money and doing all that. I want to find out if you can vacate it first.
Okay, so the easements would be forthcoming if road vacation.
Right now, we're not
just like when we
that.
Have a lot consolidation and we end up putting lots together and end up having.
No, I understand.
Okay,
my
I think
point
that's
is,
what I'm asking.
My point is that the easements don't currently exist.
In anything out there.
We did something similar in the last one we saw in Milner, down at the south end of Milner, that there was a portion of valley that was
vacated. Yep.
But the resolution that you guys signed in the condition of approval maintained that alley as an easement. Because when they were dedicated to the public 100 years ago, it didn't say easement or installation of infrastructure and right of way. Just said right of way.
Because
they maybe assumed everything, but if we want to split that off, where the board would like to keep that land for easement but vacated as right of way, then we can clarify that.
I'll just say for the record, the only other one, the one that I approved in 2003.
What the hell were you
thinking? It's on a cliff like this. The contour lines, and again, you go back to Chad's original question, is it being used now or will it ever be used? Well, there's no way 2003 vacation could ever be used because it's like on a 25%. Mm-hmm. Incline.
But with that being said, the accuracy regulations have become stronger since then. And we need to be careful not to split these streets. Like, for instance, Placer. If we vacate a middle, we have Placer on each end. That's very confusing to emergency services, which end of Placer am I going to? So there's something to keep a heads up on if we need to do some renaming or whatever.
So I have another question for legal then. So, and again, we're seen to be doing this based on 3 feet. We're looking at 3 feet, sounds like. And we're also looking at the need, being that Mr. Windler wants to build a garage. And so then that's not acceptable to get in to get a variance through the Board of Adjustment. Can we arbitrarily allow for setback variance to move from what it should have been on the historical 15 back to a 12 in this instance based on that without going through? I mean, in my mind right now, it would simplify the whole process. He's not actually asking for it. I was in concern about the windfall, especially on the 8th Street and the rest, and getting a whole bunch of property for you and the rest.
Which I would have to pay a lot of money on for taxes.
And we don't know what the future is. That's what my concern is, too. We don't know how are we supposed to sit here today in 2019 and figure out what's going to be needed in 2029, 39, 49. So I'd like to see Mr. Windler get his building permit, and that seems to be what's driving this situation here.
Yes.
And it's by three feet.
So the question is, what other options exist for this besides vacation? Is that your question?
Yeah. Or
so this is.
So do we have?
We could even vacate 3 feet. So
this is what the applicant is currently, working on, and this is why we're waiting on this new mapping from GIS based upon the survey that Bear provided us, because the planning director has a process to do an administrative historic setback down to 5 feet. However, based upon previous research, what he had found was it's more really in the 15-foot range in Hans Peak that would be a historic setback. So we're trying to wait on that new mapping to determine.
I would caution using GIS, even with theirs, data for making precedent, because, again, the GIS data is not going to hold up if in the court of law.
I had a similar discussion a couple of years ago with the board, and just to keep that story short, that in determining those historic setbacks, something less than 25 feet, we've taken the GIS parcel layer and basically redrew the lines, tried to shift those lines over the aerial to line up with fence lines, and basically we got that close, and the board said, okay, close enough, better than spending the money for a surveyor. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so we made 2 approvals last summer of historic setbacks based on that adjustment, our parcel lines to the aerial. And that's what we came up with, the 10 or 15 feet. If we do that same thing but line up our parcel lines with their survey, I think it's even more in Ron's favor, for that historic setback.
But what does that do to the ones that we just approved last year? I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know if it's talking 2 feet, 5 feet. So it's just a timing thing that I don't have an answer for you. But there could still be that, you know, especially based on the bear survey that Ron turned in, that they could get that historic setback.
So Commissioner Lunger had, I think, directed his question to Eric. And do you have some thoughts that you...
Yeah, first, you can't and won't do anything arbitrarily.
I knew that.
No, I was going to be capricious. He was going to be arbitrary.
No one is being arbitrary or capricious.
Right. This is very deliberate.
Well, just not to set precedent, though, as well.
So nothing arbitrary. We got it.
I'm relieved, frankly, from the discussion to learn that the improvements are not on the current right-of-way.
Yes.
So that's new-ish information to me, so that comes with great relief. But that opens the door to the options that I think are being referenced here, a historic lot line adjustment, which is pretty exclusive to Hans Peak Village is one option. Setback evaluation. The other option would be a variance request, which would be then subject to BOA review, not Board of County Commissioner review.
I understood that. But even that, and again, you finished. Are you done? Are you,
I think I'm done.
So my understanding, though, is that we couldn't do that. We would deny the vacation, and then those options could be pursued afterward. We wouldn't include that in this decision.
Correct.
Okay.
So when Scott has a comment,
unless
you wanted me to bump up that historic setback approval to you.
That's what I was just going to suggest, is the commissioners could give him leniency and flexibility in making the judgment calls within reason, since some properties are at 5 feet, some properties are 25 feet. Is 11 or 12 really that much of a 4 foot area? That's the size of this table right here. Maybe it's 3 feet. But anyhow, 4 feet.
I already have that flexibility. It's built into the regulations.
Well, why are we here?
why does
he apply to you?
It's a
good question.
It has nothing to do with the vacation request.
Okay, thank you.
It does to you. It doesn't.
Would you come up and make your comment?
So that's what I was trying to ask.
This is Scott Kalman from Rock County Environmental Health. I assume you have a septic system.
Everything's in. Yes.
Is the treatment area or leach field located to the southeast of the residence?
It's northeast, and there is a plan that we had that was done by Bear Ackerman, Emerald Mountain Surveys, and Jake's Drafting. They laid out all six of those lots for us for a legality of it. For all six buildable lots that are on there,
lot four.
We laid out a development plan. So that way, when Wilkinson built, he had a plan to go by. And now that Zacone is building, he will have a plan to go by that has all your 100-foot from your septic to your cistern.
Okay, so the existing septic system is located.
It's right here, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any comments you'd like to make about that?
The garage you're planning on building, is it just a garage?
Or yes.
Is it?
It's no more live area, just a garage. Might attach it to the back door of the cabin, but it will be at the 15-foot setback going in. It won't be any further out than 15 feet.
Okay.
Because that's what we've already been talking about for quite a long time.
I'm
not trying to look at using this 11-foot to do that. That's not the intent.
So that'll go through its own process. So I don't have a concern to talk about that. I feel like my questions have been adequately answered.
So again, I guess we figure out how we move forward here. And I don't even know that we owe you some questions.
Okay, yeah, in that in the administrative approval process, that you would be allowed to grant a minimized historic setback. Do you have specific criteria for that?
Basically, you go from the building site, from where the house is, go out three blocks in any direction. There's a set amount of properties that you need to go out in each direction. and you can average, you know, the setbacks in those to determine what the historic setback.
So is that approval process intended to accommodate existing historic structures?
Yes.
Or it's not intended to accommodate new construction?
Well actually it's both. You know, so it would bring an older structure into, you know, basically beyond grandfather status if they wanted to come through that approval process. But in situations where you're building a new house, if every house on your block or blocks around you are at 10 feet or 15 feet, does it make sense? Does it fit in with the community character to be at 25 feet?
But you wouldn't consider applying that logic to the entire community as a blanket planning tool?
No.
It wouldn't solve the problem.
Huh?
It wouldn't solve the problem that we're talking about today in terms of a community plan, because that would only be setbacks, not actually boundary lines.
Yeah.
And because there are portions of the Hans Peak Village that you can take that criteria for historic setback and come up with 5 or 10 feet. And then you go up to something like the north end, you know, and the setbacks are bigger.
Okay, thank you. And then I just have one last question for Mr. Wendler. Can you articulate to this board how this particular vacation would benefit Brevard County?
Yes.
Okay.
It might be in a roundabout way, but do you want the good or the bad?
You said benefit.
Because it's going to have to be a little bit of both, and I have to think about
fine.
This
yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm kind of...
Yeah, this is not a trick question. I'm just...
No, but I understand what you're saying. One, it allows the precedent... Is that right? The smaller setback version versus the whole area of the setback. So right there, it's going to keep other people from asking for the whole area of setback like I did when I first came in.
The vacation.
The vacation of all the roads and stuff. So everybody else is going to learn from that and go, we're not doing the whole vacation. But at least the county is starting to work with people to try to make things right. And now that their eye is on the town, unfortunately, there's been a few other people that have brought up different things, not just me, I believe, in the whole town. But since I'm bringing this up and people learn about it, they're going to know that they can't go out and ask for the whole thing, that the county is actually trying to be positive and trying to help dial in some of the things that aren't right. I don't know how else to put it, with homes and cabins and properties that have been up there forever and trying to make them more livable for the community versus being negative and shutting everything down. Because by doing that, you would be setting an example that you don't want anything to do with it. You don't want to help anybody. Okay. So I think that'd be a positive spin on the situation.
Go ahead and give me the negative.
The negative be, well, if I was to do the whole, then everybody else is going to think that they should do it. And that's why the Planning Commission denied it, is because they were all hung up, because several of them don't know the area, don't know the history of Hans Peak, like a couple of you do, and yourself probably, that they were a little nervous about trying to say, hey, we want to work with you on this, and then... trying to vacate the whole thing, because that's what I asked for.
Okay.
So I went off of Brookshire, of the planning director, off of what he said, Commissioner, and whatnot. So, and I understood it. I got it. Same with Road and Bridge and GIS. I mean, we all know they're not saying no to any of it. They're saying that we know there's an issue up there, and it shouldn't just be you that has that issue. Are you the one that's making all this happen? It shouldn't be put onto me that I have to redo all the streets. I have, you know, all this stuff. And there's a lot of our conversation today was that. And those other commissioners didn't know the background of up there, what's going on.
And they just thought that everybody's already driving in front of you and going here and using that and all that, but nobody does. So, you know, I think the good outweighs the bad. I think I'm in, you know, if you approve it with direction for an administrative approval, that's great. I'm just trying to come into compliance.
Okay.
So I can now put up my hands and say, hey, I'm in compliance. I'm doing what should have been done in the first place. I would suggest to you that when they come to me and ask me that you get ahead of what you're doing and try to abide by the law and do what you're doing. I mean, you already know that the reason why I'm here. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ante's being up there, though, society-wide. To all of us.
Any other questions or clarifications?
Yeah, I'm still a little confused. I haven't gotten my answer whether we could not vacate anything.
Yes.
And get a building permit from Mr. Windler, and we kick the can down the road some farther. My other option would be I'm not in favor of vacating this one little portion at 10 feet or 12 feet or 13 feet, whether we just go through the whole vacation of the whole road there, a placer, and at 10 feet on the whole road. You know, from the highway, from 129 all the way up to the end of Mr. Windler's Road. That way we don't have this zigzag, a sawtooth, the people coming in and later saying, well, what, you know, and we didn't have all these applications coming in for 10 feet or 12 feet or whatever, the 15 feet. If we're going to do 15 feet, we ought to just do it as a county-driven thing, that the county would then vacate 15 feet all the way from 128. Does that make sense? And so Chad has a comment regarding that.
Okay. But you're not talking about doing that today. You're talking about doing survey work. And
no, yes, I would just...
Okay, most... Yeah. The way Hans Peek was planted has nothing to do with the topography of the land. It's one of the reasons why we're here today. Looking at these contours, this is a drainage... goes up to Poverty Bar.
Yep.
Okay. And Ron has already said, because of their survey, that all these lines running north-south should be 30 feet off this way. Okay. What happens when you get closer to the drainage? The topography doesn't necessarily fall off into the drainage with these platted lines. You can kind of tell where the vegetation breaks and the contour lines are. This jagged line right here that I'm tracing... Mm-hmm. Anything to the west of that falls into the drainage. So, where it might make sense on a piece like Ron's, that you would still have 65 feet of right-of-way left, once you get down onto this block, that 65 feet is in the drainage off of an embankment.
But it's already, if you look at the third house down, it's already in the, I mean, the right-of-way already is, because that house is on there.
It's in the right-of-way.
The far line on your left is the actual left side of the west side of Placer Street.
Okay. So okay. That's
just pretend east side. That the right line that there is Placer Street on that map. Yeah, it's a bit confusing for ever since I've for 36 years or ever since we had websites. It's been very confusing for me being a real estate broker in this community for anything up there because all the lines are off. So I have to go back to other means and surveyors, and that's why we have the surveyors.
And to answer your first question, Doug, of whether or not a vacation needs to happen in order for him to get into compliance, so that's this second application that he's currently pursuing. If that were to be approved on the administrative level by Chad, which is what we're still gathering research on with all these crazy maps, if that were to be approved, then a vacation would not be necessary for him to get into compliance. Are we ready to keep going?
I think we have a table. Myself.
Okay, so questions have been answered, and we don't need any other further clarification.
Obviously, public comment.
Yeah, I assume that no one's here for public comment, so we'll just state that for the record. Thank you. That's where I was going. So we'll have a round table. Do you want to start, Doug?
I'm sorry that we're all here. It's been in, and again, I'm crisis themed. And again, especially when my name gets, and I'm not embarrassed to what I said about the vacation of right of ways on the email I sent back to Miss
Ms. Wedderburg as well back in 2010. I think it still stands to reason today, and I think we're still following what we had tried to do before. And, you know, if it's going to be used, we can't predict the future. So I'm really not very favorable in vacating any right-of-way unless we just absolutely know the one that we did that I helped do was on a cliff. And so I would just assume table this thing and so that we don't deny it for right now, and then so that the other part of the process moves forward and see if the administrative with the Hans Peak historical setbacks to follow. Otherwise, if we don't do that, I would continue to lean forward in the 10 or 12, 15-foot setback on the whole easterly side of Placer Street myself and not have a zigzag up through the thing. So.
Okay, a couple of things. I've been through several road vacations since I've been a commissioner, and there's two in particular that stand out in my mind. One, obviously, was the 18C vacation, and that was the reason that I asked Mr. Wendler the question, how would this benefit Rock County? That was really controversial when we vacated 18C, but there was a clear benefit to the county. We lost the need to replace what's probably a $500,000 bridge at some point in the future. And so I felt like there was a clear benefit to Rock County. When we vacated County Road 31, that was a road that, I'm not sure, were we actually maintaining that road? So we were still plowing County Road 31 at the time that we vacated it, and that was pretty clean. There was no potential access to public land. It was completely surrounded by private property owners. And again, it seemed to be a pretty clear benefit to Rock County. In this particular case, there's clearly a benefit to Mr. Wendler, but I guess I'm not persuaded by Mr. Wendler's comments about the benefits to Rock County. And I think the unforeseen circumstances or results are what have me really worried about, you know, that we don't know what we don't know, especially with unclear information about where property lines actually are and how this might potentially affect future uses for infrastructure, for roads, for traffic patterns, et cetera, et cetera. I would be inclined to, on the face of it, to deny the road vacation request. I have to think a little bit about the tabling concept. I'd be interested to hear what Commissioner Melton has to say.
Thank you. Thank you for all of you for being here. I would echo Commissioner Corrigan's comments about the public benefit. I am dubious of the public benefit that this vacation would create. And in essence, this is Rock County giving away at no cost some public property. And if we did need it again in the future, would have to be purchased. I would also have concern about the issues that were raised with this 2003 vacation denial around piecemeal vacations and that as a remedy for the issues in Hans Peak. I think that's a concern. And then I would also really hesitate. I would echo questions about tabling and waiting to see what happens in this administrative process. I would hate to set a precedent that we would remedy setback issues with vacations. That would not be the remedy that I would see as appropriate. And so I would be most interested in denying the vacation. And I do hope that you're able to remedy these setback issues through the administrative process, but I don't think this is the appropriate way to remedy those.
So if we deny it, and then the administrative process doesn't work,
then, so what are we going to have to change our minds to bring it back to reconsider again?
That's an argument against tabling.
No, that's an argument for tabling.
Well, I guess I would be... I mean, you would have to be bringing back an entirely different set of arguments, because...
Well, we're going to discuss how much we're going to vacate as well, and what we're going to vacate. But are we going to vacate 15? We're going to vacate 3? Or are we going to vacate none, you know? So
let's just be frank about this. Rowe County did not create this problem. The applicant created the problem.
Mm-hmm. So, Hans Peek, 1890.
If Mr. Wendler had applied for a building permit at the time that he did his construction, that issue could have been dealt with at that time. This seems like it's a bigger problem now because something's already been built. I'm not sure why we as commissioners should feel compelled to do a road vacation in order to accommodate some illegal construction.
So
I mean, I'm saying that that's not a consideration as far as I'm concerned about whether or not to approve this vacation. I'm looking at this very narrowly. Is this in the benefit of Rowe County? Does this solve a problem for Rowe County and its citizens and citizens writ large? And I have not seen compelling evidence to persuade me of that.
I would agree.
Okay.
Now, the other thing of it is, I mean, there's still, I mean, we could deny this today. Mr. Wendler can pursue his administrative remedies as they may or may not be available. There's nothing that prevents Mr. Wendler from coming back at a future date with a new road vacation request. But I would say that that could very easily run into a tabling of its own, because of all of these unknown things that we have about Hans Peek and infrastructure and future uses, future development in Hans Peek. Just really nervous about vacating something when I don't know what the impact will be down the road.
I would still hesitate to put the broader community-wide issues on the backs of individuals as well. I mean, to your point about the... But I don't think that bears on this particular application.
So, what are we doing here? Are we done talking?
Well, we're way over time, so we are.
Can I state something else, Ron?
You may.
It would take me some more time to think about the public. What benefit it is. And I don't know if I got to the point or not on it, but it's going to stop all the illegal building up there and a lot of other places by working with the public.
Thank you for your comment.
Thanks.
So you got it or what?
Yeah.
So I have the motion here.
Okay.
I've moved to deny the petition to vacate the portions of Placer Street, 8th Avenue, and Hans Peek Village, and findings effective preponderance of the public comment from the residents of Hans Peek was opposed to the vacation statements, and that the public does use the property, and a letter submitted by the Road and Bridge Department stating its opposition to the vacation.
Second.
And just for the record, I'm going to vote against the motion. I still think we should be tabled.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Thank you very
much.
Thank
you.
Thanks for your time.